It's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you are about to attend class number 60. And as we begin this class, I would invite you to get your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 38. And we'll begin this lesson in a few moments there. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher of the church at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And I'm reading to you Sunday school lessons written by E.A. Elam for the Sundays of 1922. And we're in the midst of a lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for June 11th, 1922. And it's about the time that Jeremiah was cast into a pit. And in this lesson, we're going to read about how he was rescued by an Ethiopian. If you have your Bibles, you might want to look at Jeremiah chapter 38. And we'll begin in verse 7. And in the verses 7 through 9, these are the Sunday school lesson notes that E.A. Elam had written. It is remarkable that an Ethiopian eunuch, the king's servant, saved Jeremiah from death at the hands of his own Jewish brethren. Today, some men of the world show much more mercy and kindness and have a higher sense of rectitude and honor than some church members, as the term church member is commonly used. He is not a Christian who is one outwardly, but who is one from the heart in spirit and truth. Such always treat others in justice and righteousness and mercy and love as they would be treated. This eunuch and servant was Ebed-Melech. Having heard that Jeremiah had been cast into this dungeon, he went forth out of the king's house to the king, then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, to intercede with the king in behalf of Jeremiah, stating that Jeremiah would surely die there. He gave his reasons. The men who put the prophet in this dungeon had done an evil thing, and there was no bread in the city because of the famine. Hitherto, while a prisoner in the court of the guard, Jeremiah had been allowed a loaf of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city was spent, Jeremiah 37:21. But there was no more bread in these public places to be had, and Jeremiah would now die of starvation in that old pit. That Ebed-Melech went forth to the king while in this gate and in this public place and made this appeal shows courage and magnanimity, a deep sense of right and strong convictions against wrong will make anyone brave and fearless and magnanimous. Jeremiah 38:10-13. Ebed-Melech prevailed upon the king to have Jeremiah taken up out of his place. He commanded Ebed-Melech to take 30 men with him from thence to the gate of Benjamin as the guards against any opposition with which he might meet, and take Jeremiah up out of the dungeon before he die. Ebed-Melech no doubt gladly proceeded with his guard to Jeremiah's relief. He took with him rags and worn-out garments. These were let down by cords to Jeremiah in the dungeon, and he was instructed to place them under his armholes between his flesh and the cords so that the cords would not cut his flesh while being drawn up. Thus he was drawn up out of the dungeon and was allowed to remain in the court of the guard until the day that Jerusalem was taken, Jeremiah 38:28. Even after King Zedekiah had a secret interview with Jeremiah and promised that he would not be put to death, also the princes had an interview with him. It is cruel and basely ungrateful to seek one's advice and help, and then turn right away and persecute such an adviser and gracious helper? After all this persecution, Jeremiah still stayed truth and spoke the truth to the king and his princes and advised them to do what was best to do. A true man cannot do otherwise. He is always the same concerning the truth, justice, righteousness, and faithfulness to God, regardless of circumstances, conditions, and public opinions. Concerning these high and holy principles, one cannot be one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Let me read to you how the story went in Jeremiah chapter 38. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14, and I'll read down to the end of the chapter in verse 28. It says in Jeremiah 38:14, "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of Jehovah. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, thou wilt not hearken unto me. So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As Jehovah liveth that made us his soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of those men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then shall thy soul live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thy house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given to the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of his hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen away to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of Jehovah in that which I spake unto thee. So shall it be well with thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that Jehovah hath showed me. Behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, Thy familiar friends have set thee on, and have prevailed over thee. Now that thy feet are sunk in the mire, they are turned back away. And they shall bring out all their wives and their children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, Declare unto us now what thou hast said to the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death, also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all that the words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the guard until the day that Jerusalem was taken. Now there's a follow-up to this story about Ebed-Melech. He is the Ethiopian that saved Jeremiah and got him out of the miry pit. It says, For this justice, magnanimity, and kindness to Jeremiah, God's true prophet, God rewarded Ebed-Melech. And we read about that reward in Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 15 through 18. Now the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the guard, saying, Go and speak unto Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good,
and they shall be accomplished before thee in that day. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith Jehovah, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely save thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith Jehovah. The next lesson will show what became of the poor, weak, and vacillating king. I had rather be a godly Ethiopian in slavery and poverty than to be a weak, cowardly, ungodly king. Now that ends this particular lesson, but on this lesson there's a subscript written called God Rules. Let me read you what Elam wrote. Just after several lessons in this quarter in the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah, or several in the preceding ones concerning Elijah and Elisha, we should derive greater benefit from the study of the prophets and be more deeply impressed with the sublime fact that God rules throughout the universe, from the worm to the largest and the most remote star, from the poorest and the most humble man on earth unto the archangels. He rules in justice and mercy, righteousness and love, wisdom and power, seeing the sparrow fall, hearing the raven's cry, answering the widow's prayer, and directing the angels upon their mission. He rules. We should see still greater reasons than formerly for studying the prophets, both in their lives and their teachings. The writer of these lessons has besought people in general, and the church in particular, since the beginning of the Great World War, to read again and again and to study as never before the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Zephaniah, and others, in order to learn what other things that God rules in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it as serves his purpose, the lowest of men, Daniel 4:17, changes times and seasons, removes kings and sets up kings, gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to those that have understanding, reveals deep and secret things, knows what is in the darkness, for light dwells with him, Daniel 2:21 and 22. God leads armies to battles and creates peace, Isaiah 45:7 and Amos 3 and verse 6. All the inhabitants of the earth, there is nothing before his power. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou, Daniel 4:34 and 35. He declares the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Also, all should study the Bible in order to learn the principles upon which God deals with men, and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God, Psalm 90 and verse 2. It is a calm, serene, safe contentment and blessed assurance to fully commit one's way to God, to acknowledge him in all things, the gentle dewdrops and raging storms, in peaceful homes, in the upheaval of nations, and to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let all requests be made known to him. Then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, guards the hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. God rules. Now that ends the lesson. And in the next class, we're going to study a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday of June 18th, 1922. And it's going to be about the downfall of Judah. And then we'll continue after that lesson. That'll bring us to the end of that quarter of lessons. And then we're going to start in the third quarter, beginning in July 2nd, 1922, about the exile and restoration of Israel. That's all we'll have time for, though, today. So the old schoolmaster will say, the class may now be dismissed.